Welcome back to the FKT podcast. I'm your host, Heather Anderson. Today I'm joined by Katarina Hattent to set the women's FKT on the UK's premier fell running route, the Bob Graham Round, completing the 100 kilometer run in 14 hours, 11 minutes. Thank you, Katarina, for coming on the show today. I'm really excited to chat with you. I was wondering if you could start out by recapping what the Bob Graham Round is for our listeners. It's one of our premier routes. We've definitely had people on the show to talk about it before, but I think it'd be nice to have a little refresher.
Yeah, I thanks so much for the invitation. I'm happy to be here. And yeah, I did the Bob Graham Round just about 10 days ago, and it is an FKT in the UK, the United Kingdom, in a part of it that's called the Lake District. And it's very famous for the fells there and the fell running. And there's actually quite a couple of different like routes and rounds you can do there. But yeah, the Bob Graham Round is about 100 kilometer-ish loop. And yeah, it includes the 42 summits that you have to reach. That's basically the challenge. And then in general, the challenge to finish the Bob Graham Round is to do that within 24 hours. And my challenge was a bit different because I tried to run the fastest female time there. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, yeah, it's a quite a technical round. It has about or a little over 8,000 meters of climbing and descent. That's a bit more than 25,000 feet, I think, or even probably even closer to 30,000. Yeah, it's a lot of climbing, and part of it is on trails and part of it is off trails because that's fell running. You just look for the fastest line from one summit to the next.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you could kind of define what a fell is or what fell running is, because I feel like that's a term that's used in a very distinct part of the world that maybe not all of our listeners would be familiar with what that means.
Yeah, basically it's how the hills are called there. So if you are coming into the Lake District, you will see there's plenty of small mountains, I would call them, or big hills, but they are called fells there. And the traditional fell running evolved of people just running up and down those hills without initially having any trail or sort of footpath. And that's even how most of the fell races are done today, that people are just like running up to a summit or to a certain location and figuring out their way on the go. Yeah, but basically the fells are all these little hills slash mountains that they have in the Lake District.
And these are all like above tree line, right? They're open.
Yeah, that's something very special because the altitude is not really high. You're almost starting at sea level, basically, and you never really go above much more than 3,500 feet. So yeah, it's pretty low altitude, but they are basically all the fells, yeah, are above tree line. So there might be some trees further down, but even that is a rarity. So most of the time when I was in the Bob, I think there was, yeah, the only trees you have is like really at the foot of the fells. And then maybe at the end, because then you are running out of the fells and you just follow a road section that is the final section of the round. But yeah, most of the fells have like a lot of heather growing there, and like just grass, but yeah, mostly no trees.
So one of the things for sure I would imagine about being up on these big hills, small mountains where there are no trees, a huge factor would be the weather, because you would have no shelter from it. How was the weather for your FKT? What was it like?
Yeah, that's quite an important factor because the Lake District is known for like a lot of rain and moisture because basically it's very close to the Atlantic. And so there's just, yeah, a lot of moisture there usually. And when I was there in May to do my recce, there was a lot of rain and high winds. So yeah, it's crucial, I think, especially if you want to run a fast round, to get those conditions that allow you to run fast, because also, well, the weather is one thing, but then also the ground conditions, because you can imagine if it rains for a long time, then they have what they call bogs. So it's like this section where it's like very either muddy or just like these grassy sections where you like sink into the ground, and you can sink in like a lot, like knee deep, waist deep. If the bogs are really bad,
yeah,
it's really slow going. You don't really want that. So Actually, I now was in luck that it didn't. They also had some really dry conditions for a couple of weeks there before I did the attempt. And so the ground conditions were actually pretty good, like almost perfect. The locals at least told me. And I think, yeah, I sensed that during the record. I was like, yeah, I only once sank into a bog, like knee deep, but that was about it. Most of the dogs are pretty dried out, so you could just run past them because sometimes you have to find your ways around them to not get stuck in them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was important, but then also the weather on the day itself. So we had a really small weather window because, well, before there was a period that was really nice and dry, but I could not do it earlier than the day I did it at. But the next day, there was another rainy period coming in. And actually, yeah, if you want to run fast there, it's good to have a dry day because there are some very rocky sections where you climb over these big rocks and jump from rock to rock. And you really don't want these rocks to be too wet. So we were actually having, yeah, some great, great conditions because it was rather cool. It was, yeah, really nice to run. It was mostly dry. There was some drizzle at some point, but nothing major. There was a strong wind and quite some low clouds in the morning. So that was a little tricky just for the navigation. But since I had great help of the locals, it didn't become a problem. And towards the end of the day, the clouds lifted a little bit. That the wind was not a big factor anymore. So I would say overall, it was probably as good as it could be for a place like the Lake District, where it's really challenging to get great conditions. Yeah.
So I'd like to back up a little bit. You set your FKT in July, but you were there in May to attempt it as well. So can you talk a little bit about that and why you ended up setting it in July and not May?
Yeah. So the original plan was to basically spend almost the entire month of May there to reconnoitre the route, to do all the different parts of it, but also to just get to know the people and to learn something about fell running because, yeah, I'm not from the UK. It was my first time actually to the UK. So, I mean, yeah, I know a lot about trail running, but I know that the fell running community is very special and that fell running is not necessarily the same as what we usually do in like trail running. So I was keen on getting to know the people also because it was crucial to know people for the support and that had mm-hmm. to be local. So that was another reason to get to know the people, but also learn more about the history of the Bob Graham Round, but also of fell running in general and just immerse myself a bit into this cultural experience. And then the ultimate goal was that by the end of that period, if we would have a weather window, that I would attempt the record. And everything went well. I had a great recce and I got to know the people. We had a great team together. But then we also got the weather window because there was a lot of rain and cold temperatures back then. But just in time for the record, we would have had a really good window. But just like 3 or 4 days out, I unfortunately got a cold.
Mm.
So I wasn't super sick, but I was sick enough that it wouldn't make any sense to do something like a race or like a record attempt at a really fast record. So I knew I needed to be like in race health and I was not. So we waited and we even pushed the attempt to the very last possible day. But yeah, unfortunately, it took me a couple of days to recover. So that's why then we ultimately had to cancel the attempt in May. Yeah, which was the reasonable thing to do. Like there was no way to run with that condition. But yeah, then I was checking if there is another window, a potential window for me to do it within this year still. And there was really only one weekend because you can only do it or try it to attempt a fast time until about September, maybe the beginning of October, because afterwards, usually, yeah, the weather is just not allowing a successful fast attempt anymore. And since I'm still having plans in to race other races in September, this was basically the only weekend I could do. So we were like keeping an eye on the weather, and I was like, okay, I'm only trying it if the weather makes sense, because otherwise I just waste time and energy. And yeah, just with about 5 days to go, we decided to give it a go because finally we had that weather window. So it all came together pretty much on short notice. last minute, but we managed to have like a great team together, and it all worked out. But there was a lot of doubts because I was only traveling back from the US 2 days before my attempt. So I wasn't sure if this was a really, really bad idea or not. But I had the oxygen on my side because I stayed in Colorado for a couple of weeks. So I came down from really high altitude and I thought, okay, maybe the jet lag is not helping me, but the oxygen should be an advantage.
And they'll offset each other.
Exactly. That was my hope. And luckily it worked. But yeah, it was a little bit of a gamble. But I was like, okay, I have nothing really to lose. If it works, then great. If not, I come back next year. But if I don't even try, I anyways come back next year. So yeah, I wanted to go for it. I was really excited because I was really sad when I couldn't do it in May. So yeah, that's what I eventually ended up doing. And I'm still a little bit surprised it went that well, to be honest, like given the amount of travel and in the days before. But yeah, I'm glad we could make it happen.
You took, about 23 minutes off of Beth Pascal's time. And you actually set it on the same day as she did in 2020. So that was not intentional. That just accidentally happened.
Completely accidentally. I even only recognized while we were running that it was the day. I didn't even realize before. I didn't check again. So I was like, it was complete accident. But it's actually, in hindsight, it's pretty nice.
Yeah. There's something magical about that day. Who knows?
I don't know. It helps. It was not a bad day for me.
Also, so like, obviously when you were there in May, you kind of already had a team together. You had locals that were ready to help you. Were most of them able to pivot and join you in July? Or did you kind of have to start over with gathering support?
Well, yeah, the team was quite different in July than the planned one in May. But actually, we had a large group of people together. It was a group of about 45 people that just were happy to help if they could. So when we decided to give it a go, we just asked around if people are available. I mean, we need at least 10 people for the support on each of those legs. Like, there is different parts of the route that are called the legs. So there are 5 legs. And in between those legs, you can have support, you can have a crew, because there is a road that you cross. And that's usually where you exchange the people that are running with you, because that is something unique about the Bob Graham round, is that you always need a witness with you that witnesses that you reach all of the 42 summits and the correct summits, because sometimes there is several different cairns, but there is only one summit. So you want to make sure that you're there. And that's why you always have to have somebody with you. And usually you want to have at least 2 people running the leg with you, because in case of somebody has to drop or something happens, you still have someone that can be with you. And another specialty is that they also carry your nutrition, for example, or your gear, so that you are free to run. That's also something that is specific to the Bob Graham round, but it's how it's done for all the fast times and even for the people who just come there to run the round itself. So yeah, that's why you need many people. And yeah, we wanted at least 10 people as the pacers. And then also you want some people for the road support. And it was a bit challenging because it was on such a short notice. And also because it is in the middle of summer. So there was many fire runners in our group that were also racing on that weekend. Mm-hmm. And then there was other people involved with other races, so they couldn't join. And then it was a Friday, so most people just had to go to work.
Right.
But yeah, it was a little challenging. And until the day before, we were not having a complete crew, but almost. But I had great, great people who were like taking care of that. So it was not my primer task to look after the crew coming together, but it was locals that did an amazing, amazing job with like getting everything together and like asking last minute in the running clubs, in the local running clubs, if somebody would be able to join. And so, yeah, but it all came together, if very last minute, but it all worked out. And we had, I think, the right amount of people helping me. Yeah, because you also want to make sure, especially when you want to do a fast round, that, the people can keep up with you.
Right.
Even if they have to, like, carry, especially with carrying more stuff. And then they also traditionally take over the navigation. So yeah, it needs to be strong runners. But yeah, luckily we managed, and we had a superb team, and I am glad everything came together very last minute. I'm super grateful for everybody who was willing to support. Because yeah, that's the one thing about this FKT, you cannot do it by yourself.
Right. Yeah, that's one of the things I feel like is incredibly unique, and there's something really awesome about that, but also seems like it would be incredibly stressful because, like you said, you have to rely on these people that you don't necessarily know. And it's like, are they strong enough to do this? Are they going to be able to keep up? You know, it feels like it's a huge trust, and also trying to amass enough people to help you with this. It's a huge component of this.
Yeah, it is. And it is a little stressful, but at the same time, it is what makes it so special. So I was really looking forward to having all the people there and actually be able to share this experience in a very special way that you could not have if you would do it as a race, for example. And also given the fact that, yeah, I think it was really helpful that I was already there in May. So I even know some of the people personally. I didn't know all of the crew until the day. Some of them I just got to know on the fly, but it was I was trusting the other people who were putting the crew together that it all would work out. But I was still glad that, yeah, it was already kind of known that I wanted to attempt it. And we had this big group of like volunteers basically who were super happy to help. And I must say I was a bit surprised that there were so many people who didn't know me at all. And they were just like saying, yeah, I'm totally, if I have the time, if I'm not busy, otherwise I'm happy to help and support. And that was really special. And that already showed me that, yeah, this is a really special community. And yeah, they're just helping each other, even though, yeah, I'm not from there and they didn't know me. And yeah, but they still were keen on helping me. And even like Beth herself, she wanted to help me and join me, even if we were about to trying to break her own record. But it's just, yeah, that's how it works there. And that's something that I really like about this specific round and this FKT is just this, yeah, people helping each other and just wanting you to have the best day and the most success you can have. I'm already myself looking forward to, because that's also the tradition, is if you've done the round, that you go back and help somebody else to do it. And I'm super much looking forward to do that. And hopefully there will be more women now trying it as well. And hopefully one day there's other women trying to break that record. And I would be super stoked, yeah, to help them achieve that goal.
The community aspect of the Bob Graham is definitely something that makes it very, very unique in trail running and FKTs and fell running in general. It's just a very unique aspect of it. So you're not from there. What made you decide to do this? Why did you want to set an FKT on the Bob Graham round?
So I've been watching it for a while. I think since Killian maybe got the record, because that was a time when it was a bit like, suddenly it became known outside of the UK. And I've just seen a few pictures and I was like, wow, this looks really different than from where I usually run in the Alps, but it looks like a cool place to run first. But then also I was intrigued by the history of the round. It's not something that just came apart in the last 20 years because there was an obvious line or something, but no, there is like almost like 100-year history of that round, because the first person who did it, Bob Graham himself, did it in 1932. And yeah, he did this challenge with his friends together. So that's also how the idea with the paces came about, that it was people joining on that adventure. So I like that there is this history, but then also this approach of, yeah, doing it in this very special way with the group that supports you. And then finally, yeah, it's one of the very few FKT routes, I think, where there is a really stout women's record, which unfortunately is not always the case. Sometimes there is not even women's record for a route. But with this one, I knew it was a real challenge to break that. It wasn't just like, oh, I go there and I do it, and if I have a good day, then I have the record.
Right.
That's not how simple it was, but it was something where I wasn't even sure if I could break that record. I thought that I was able to run a similar time, but I wasn't sure. Oh, I knew that I needed a good day to break that record. Mm-hmm. So that's what I could already sense just from the stats and from seeing the pictures and also from doing the recce and then realizing, yeah, there is some really technical parts in this. And even like one section, for example, where you have to climb and we were actually having a rope and a harness. So yeah, it's just smooth running.
Yeah.
So I knew it was really hard to beat that time. And that was, yeah, of course, for me, that was an additional challenge since it's not like a race where you have like competitors right there, but actually competing against the clock and against the time, that was really, really good. Yeah. So I think it was all these factors coming together. And ultimately, it also allowed me to go to a place I had never been before and get to know new people. So yeah, all of that pulled me there. And I'm glad I did it because it, in the end, yeah, all of that made it a really cool adventure and cool challenge.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, I need to go back to the fact that you had to wear a harness. Is this just to get to one of the summits or is this a prolonged pitch on the route?
No, it's actually just a short section, but it's maybe 20 meters or something. It's not super long, 15.
Okay.
But the thing was that it was a section that I couldn't do in training before, because when I did that section in training, I was by myself and there's alternatives that are a little easier. And I didn't even know where we were going. And so we were doing it for the first time and doing it out. And there is people, yeah, I feel like Beth probably did it without the rope. Or maybe there was a rope, but she didn't have a harness, I think. And then I know that when Jack Kunzel set the men's record, I think he actually didn't even have a rope there. But he was there at least and checked it out before, so he knew what was coming up. Also, and additionally, when we did it, and that was, so it was still optional to use the harness. So we agreed before that we wanted to have a rope there. So we had a rope that you could just hold on to. But then when I arrived there, I realized that the rocks were not dry because it was really misty and we were in a cloud and it was just slippery. And since it was the first time for me climbing up there, I was like, yeah, there's no way I'm not going to wear that harness because I don't want to have that stress. Because it is quite a consequential fall if you slip off. You don't want, because that would potentially injure yourself in a way that you cannot continue to run. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to risk that. And I was like, okay, I'd rather take the minute to get on and off the harness and be on a rope and be secured.
Right.
To just get over this. It's like 3 steps where you have to climb over. But since I'm also a tiny person, I had to figure out first how to do it. But all in all, I was just glad to have the additional safety. And I didn't care if we lose a couple minutes on that section, because I just wanted to make it over safely. And you have to, you don't have to go there. There is alternatives, but the alternatives are usually still slower than if you do the climb. And yeah, it's to get up to another summit. You don't have to go down the same way. You go down a different way. That's much easier.
Okay.
But yeah, usually now for the fast runs, usually people go over this climbing section. Yeah.
It's always that way of okay, well, it's only this one tricky move and it's not that long. But if you mess up, there's serious consequences, you know? And so it's weighing. Probably I'm not going to slip, but if I do, you know, it's game over.
If you are there before, if you do it, if the conditions are dry and you just exactly know where you put your hands and you know, oh yeah, I did that in training and this is how it works, then yeah, I can totally see that you are I don't need a rope.
Right.
But you still at least want to have people behind you that are kind of spotting you in case you're coming off. But since it was literally the first time I was there and it was unknown territory, I was like, yeah, I take the additional security.
Yeah. And the rocks are wet. I mean, the rocks there get so slippery when they're wet. It's easy to slip.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess maybe just let's wrap up with your highest high, your best moment out there, and then your lowest low.
I start with the low. So luckily I had not a super deep low, which is always great.
Yeah, that is good.
Yeah, I think my low point was probably around the halfway point or close to the halfway point, because the first hours just flew by and we just really pushed it really hard. And then on that third leg, it's a bit more a technical one in the sense that there is many parts where you just climb over these huge rocks, and yeah, it's just you're ticking off many summits, but it's just a constant like up and down and climbing over uneven terrain. And so there, that was the first time when I felt like, okay, I felt a bit being tired and I had to slow down a little bit, which was fine. But then I also had some slight issues with my stomach and I didn't feel like super well. And I knew it was just something to figure out and to solve, and I would feel better later on. But yeah, that was like when I realized, okay, I've already put in a few very hard hours of work and there's quite a few more waiting for me. So yeah, it was just like, I would say a normal low point. Luckily nothing major. And then high points, yeah, it's hard to define a single high point, because I would say in general, the entire day was a highlight in a sense. I mean,
yeah,
it wasn't like smooth sailing all the time, and it was certainly really hard and like, yeah, intense running for many hours. And in the end, I was for sure in the pain cave and I was also ready to be done. But I still was able, I think, even though I was working really hard, I was able to still enjoy it almost the entire way and like just enjoy how beautiful the area there is, enjoy being with the others, sharing the experience with the others. And so that was just made it special. And I think I thought so much about it before and I had a version of how I hoped the day to be. And then it turned out that it was even better than I hoped for it to be. So yeah, that just made it a highlight. And of course, it's a highlight if you like, if you finished the last leg and, you know, you're arriving at the start again and you're like, okay, I'm done now. And there's people applauding and whatever. But it was also just small highlights in between, like getting over the difficult section or like reaching another road stop where my crew was waiting and having a good time with the pacers. Like, yeah, there was many, many high points, or just the fact that during the first, I don't know, 5 hours, I just felt like, okay, I can just push and we are just on time or even ahead of my schedule, and we're just flying up and down the mountains, and I was dropping a couple pacers, so I knew, okay, I'm in good shape, it's working, like, you know,
yeah,
we could actually do this. But yeah, I would say it's hard to pick one highlight, but the entire day was pretty much a highlight. Yeah,
I mean, that's the sign of a really, really good run, when there is no single moment that stands out, when it's all just like, yeah, it was just good. It was just a good day. So we touched on this a little bit earlier, that you only took like 23 minutes or so off of Beth's time. Were you keeping tabs on your pace as regard to her record throughout? Or were you having any anxiety about like, oh, this is going to be close? Or were you just kind of like not thinking about that? You were just running. At what point did you realize, okay, this is happening, I'm going to break this record?
Yeah, I mean, with regard to the timing, it was always, I was always certain that it would be close in the end, because I knew the record of her, like her record was already so strong that I didn't see a lot of time that I could shave off that. But then I designed my schedule for all of the different summits. I designed it in a way that would give me a little buffer by the end if I just run on schedule. But then I also managed, and that was without like rushing things, but just running the pace that felt good, I managed to already get ahead of my own schedule on the first leg, which is one of the shorter legs. So in the first 2.5 hours, I already made up 9 minutes on my own schedule. So I knew I had a little buffer already on my own schedule, but also on the record and entire record. And then after 2 legs, we were already 15 minutes ahead of my own schedule. So I was about 20 minutes ahead of the record already. So I knew I kind of could afford some weakness, because until that time I felt really strong, and I knew there would be a weak point most likely at some point. Also, I knew the climbing section was coming up, so where I was most likely like losing time against her, which also ended up happening, but I was fine. But I think, yeah, I got frequent updates from my pacers when we reached summits. They were like, yeah, you know, we are ahead of schedule or we are bang on schedule. They didn't give me updates all the time. And we never really got behind schedule a lot, or maybe just for a section. But since we had already the buffer from the beginning, we never really got behind my schedule. So that was good, of course. Like mentally, that was really, really helpful. But I didn't stress too much about it. I mean, I think I'm experienced enough that I know that anything can happen anytime. I can be like an hour ahead of schedule and something happens and I have to stop the run, or maybe very late into the run. So I'm very aware of that. And I was just like trying to manage myself in a good way and making sure that I was still running well, and which I think I managed to do. But yeah, it's a bit different than in a race, because in a race, when you have a buffer on the people behind you, yeah, you can relax a little bit. Because you're like, yeah, it's usually not so much about a time, but about a position. But in this race, so to say, I raced the clock. So the clock was running all the time. So I couldn't really, rest or take it easy for a second. I mean, I took all the road stops seriously, and I took my minute there to like have a drink and like eat something and like making sure that I left in a good condition. But yeah, I think the buffer in the first couple of hours, having that buffer, that made me really relaxed. By the end, I wasn't really sure how much we still had on the record. I only saw it when I reached the finish and I stopped my watch. And I was happy to see that it was more than 20 minutes that we could shave off, because I thought maybe, my schedule was designed for 10 minutes and I hope maybe for 15. So getting more than 20 was really, really nice. And it showed me that I really had a good day. Yeah, but ultimately, thankfully, the start was really good. The first couple hours were really good. So I wasn't too worried with like falling behind schedule too much.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about this FKT or trail running or FKTs in general?
Well, I would encourage people, of course, to do stuff like that. It doesn't have to be the program round, but I think especially when you're running a lot, at least for me, it's always nice to have something that's a little different compared to races. If you do many races per year, then at least for me, I need to do something else from time to time to get a new motivation to why I run, and also to get motivated for new races. And I think this project, or especially this project, was something that I wanted to do for a longer time, because I was so excited to try something that was a little different, but that was equally or not even more, feeling and inviting to me than compared to a race, because I knew it was still like running a race, just in a slightly different way. But I feel like, doing something like the Bob is, you just approach it in a much different way, because in the end, you approach it as an experience with other people. Mm-hmm. And in this case, if you do a supported FKT somewhere else, usually you also meet your crew and they need to be there. But I think because here is like a requirement to have pacers to join you, from the beginning, it's a joint effort. And that's just something that, as I said before, that was something that was motivating me to do it. But that was something in hindsight where I only realized, that was really fulfilling in a sense, because I like to train by myself. I like to run by myself. Usually I prefer to run by myself. But in this case, I think because everybody was so involved and so helpful and so happy to be out there. And since we were not like a big group or something, but it was always just one or two people running with me, it was really nice because everybody knew we were working really hard. And it was not like, your Sunday afternoon stroll, but at the same time, we were still sharing it and they were helping me to get the best out of myself. And I think that is, especially in this case, it's something that makes it very unique. And there's not many other rounds where you have that. So that was for me, like, I think that was the key factor also that I will take away, because that creates some memories that you will not get these memories if you just run, I would say, a race. Even if it's a big race, you get different memories, but not something like this. So if you're motivated and if you're looking for a challenge, like, it doesn't have to be the above gram round, but I mean, you can just do something with friends, and it also doesn't need to be like a grand FKT attempt or something like that. But it just gave me a new appreciation for, just doing something different from time to time, because, I'm so used to just train for a race, then do the race, and then train by myself again. And in this case, it was still a really big challenge. I mean, it was basically a race for me, just in a very different way. And with an experience that is hard to like recreate if you just do a race.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing about your experience. I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks so much for the invitation. It was a pleasure for me.
Thanks again, Katarina, for coming on the show. You can read about her FKT on the website, fastestknowntime.com, and follow her adventures on Instagram at Galileo1307.